Let us pray. Our Father, how good and how gracious, how merciful and faithful Thou art to us. We bow before Thee this morning with praise and thanksgiving in our heart to Thee, for who is likened unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders among the sons of men. Lord, there is none in heaven but Thee, and none on earth that we desire beside Thee, for Thou art God, and beside Thee there's none other. Surely underneath are Thy everlasting arms. And You said that they that wait upon the Lord shall rise up as eagles upon their wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we thank Thee for this morning, that in Thee we can wait, and upon Thee we can wait, because You said that You didn't tell us to seek You in vain, but You said, call upon Me in the day of trouble, and I will hear Thee. I will answer Thee and show Thee great and mighty things that Thou knowest not. And our Father, we look to Thee this morning, that You will fulfill the word which You have given to Thy child, that You would pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground, and You would pour out Thy Spirit upon our seed and a blessing upon our offspring. And You said they shall spring up as grass among the willows by the watercourses, and they shall say, I am of the Lord. So we do pray this morning that by the power of Thy Spirit Thou wilt water us. Oh, Thou wilt water us with that rain from heaven. You will pour water upon him that is thirsty, those that have come this way this morning, truly with thirsty hearts, emptied of self and desiring to be filled with that water from above. Will You give us that water? And our Father, not only pour water upon him that is thirsty, but floods upon the dry ground. Those who have come with barren souls this morning, and even those who did not come with a desire, did not come even to seek Thy face, and would not even have Thee, but maybe You pour floods upon them this morning, and Thy grace abound toward them is our prayer. So we give Thee praise and glory and wait in this hour that Thou mayest be gracious to us. Thank Thee for all You've provided for us. Thank Thee for all that You have given to us. Thank Thee for everything that You have worked in us by Thy Spirit. Thank Thee that You have taught us of Thyself, taught us of our need, and gave us that need to cry after Thee. And, O Lord, that need is present with us this morning. For if ever one poor man needs You, I need You this morning to preach Thy word which You've laid upon our hearts. So we wait before You, looking to Thee to be gracious to us and to give Thee the praise and honor and glory, for it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen. We want you to turn with us in your Bibles this morning in Jeremiah 29, reading verses 10 through 14. Jeremiah 29, beginning at verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and I shall go, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I cause you to be carried away captive. As you know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, and he was called to prophesy concerning the captivity of the children of Israel. He wept over them over and over again as he saw the abominations of his people and the false prophets called peace, peace, when there was no peace. And he cried for the hurt of the daughter of his people. And he said, oh, that my eyes were like fountains, that my tears might flow for the hurt of the daughter of my people. He was cast into prison. His messages from the Lord were burned. Hardly anyone heeded that God was coming in judgment to take them away in captivity to Babylon. Everybody turned against him, and yet he continued to prophesy. Even though one time he said, I'm finished, I will not preach again, I will not prophesy again, until the word of God burned in his heart and he went forth to declare the word again. In our portion this morning, he told the people, even before they left and were conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and taken captive, that they would spend 70 years in Babylonian captivity. But God would not forget them. For verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And when God rose up to deliver, he said, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you will seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And all you have to do is turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and you will find that the prophet Daniel did exactly what the prophet Jeremiah said that the people would do. Chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 2, in the first year of Darius's reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, the prophecy of Jeremiah, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as of this day. And he continued to pour out his heart unto the Lord. And he did exactly what Jeremiah said to do. For he remembered the prophecy of Jeremiah, 70 years would be accomplished. I have never ceased to remember you. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. The last four verses of his prayer in Daniel 9, to me, are the most pungent words in any prayer in the whole Bible. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Beloved, God is showing us in this portion this morning that he desires for us to seek his face. He tells us that he would hear his voice. He will hear our voice. He does not tell us to seek him in vain, but he tells us to call upon his name and to seek him, and we shall find him when we search for him with all of our heart. And he declares it again, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. But I want you to notice what he prefaces this prayer with. I want you to understand that God in his sovereignty has declared us to be responsible creatures. Along with his sovereignty comes, he moves in his own way in our hearts we might pray. The thing that God told Ananias, when Ananias said to him, "But O my Lord, this man Saul of Tarsus has come to Damascus to put all of us to death who call upon your name. And you want me to go speak to him?" And what did the Lord say? He said, "Ananias, behold, he prayeth." And that's a sign of God dealing with our hearts. The sign of God's thoughts toward us is that our hearts are stirred up to seek his face and call upon his holy and righteous name. You don't know it, so I'm going to tell you. This message is born out of a heart that's been searched by the Lord. Many a time we come here and you would not have the message if God hadn't put us through the furnace of affliction that we might get it. Been shut up in unbelief for 2 or 3 days. And it seemed like on Friday God just put the whole weight of everything upon our own shoulders and says, "Now, can you bear it? Can you keep it? Can you provide for it?" And the answer is no. I can do nothing. But he desires us to pray. He said men ought always to pray and not to faint, to turn coward. And so he starts off in verse 11, a most precious verse of Scripture. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, one thing we should ever keep in mind, that God's thoughts toward his people didn't start when we were born. But God knew us and called us and elected us and chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." He says in that precious verse of Scripture, which we should all know by heart, 2 Timothy 1:9, that he saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He knew us. He called us in time by his almighty power and his almighty grace to come to him. But he knew us. His thoughts were toward us. And there's never been a time that the Lord has not loved us Nor have we been out of his mind, out of his thoughts. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace, and they're not of evil, to give us an expected end. David, in writing the 139th Psalm, he reminds us in these words. Turn there with me and read. Verse 13 of Psalms 139. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, when I was conceived and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, when which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. He wrote our members in his book, knew all about us. And then he goes on to say, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And how precious those thoughts are to my heart this morning. He knew me in eternity. He knew me before I was conceived in my mother's womb. He wrote all the members of my body in his book. He knew exactly when I was going to be born. He knew exactly what I was going to look like. He knew exactly where I was going to be born. He knew exactly who my parents would be. He knew the time of my being born into his kingdom. He knew the time when I would come to know him experimentally, and when he would grant unto me that grace and that mercy and that cry in my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would work in my heart that repentance and that faith. He knew this. His thoughts were with me then. And he says, my thoughts are with you now. They were with me then. He says, I have arranged all of your life. Oh, that's blessed. That God's thoughts toward us are such that he has arranged our whole life. Sometimes we might not understand that or believe that when we see the crooked way that we walk. Amen. Are you listening? This is precious to my soul. And he arranged all of my ways. He knew my down sittings and my uprisings. He knew how he was going to provide for all of my needs throughout my entire life. From the moment of conception until I drew my last breath, he knew how he was going to provide for me. He knew what he was going to call us to do at all times and in all places, under all circumstances. His thoughts toward me, toward his people, were thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. Now, there have been many times, especially when we didn't want him, and we didn't want to have him, and we ran from him, we would have said certainly that God's thoughts toward us are not thoughts of peace, but thoughts of evil. And even when he was drawing us unto himself, when we saw the wickedness of our own heart and our guilty state before God, even then we would say, and we could say, how can all of this work for good when I see nothing but guilt piled up before God? But even then, his thoughts toward us were thoughts of peace and not of evil. There are some of you sitting in this very audience this morning that I know for facts when God was dealing with your heart, was driven practically to despair. And if God had not held you, you'd have been gone. Your time was a time of love, but you didn't know it. God was wooing and calling, but you didn't know it. You thought you were gone, and despair gripped your soul. Some of you stayed in that place for years. And all the time His thoughts toward you were thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And there have been times since He saved us that we've cried even like David. Beloved, the man or the woman, and I've heard it with my own ears, who says that the Psalms are not for the believing people of God, just doesn't know the living God.
Amen.
For God caused that man to put down in writing what was in his heart, and whatever there, He wrote it for our understanding, because God knew that we were going to live. And He knew what was going to come into our hearts and our minds, and we were going to need it. And one psalm, God says, Lord, have you clean gone off and left me forever? And that's a terrible state of unbelief to be in. When we're so low that we cry unto God, have you clean gone off and left me forever? And yet even that time, and during that time, God's thoughts toward David were thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give him an expected end. And so with us. And beloved, we can understand that God's Word is true, that He cannot lie. For all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. I don't understand it. There are two ingredients in salt. Taken separately, they kill you. Put together, and they bless. There are two ingredients in water. Taken by themselves, they would kill you. Put together, they bless. And so God uses the afflictions and trials, the comforts, the joys, and everything that He might give us an expected end. And all of this is working together for our good. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I didn't read the first portion of Psalm 139, did I? This was such a grief to my soul when I would read it before God saved me. But what a blessing it's been since He saved me. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God knows all of our ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. He's with us continuously. He knows our down sittings and our uprising. I had a very fretful night last night, but I tell you all that every time, every wakeful moment, God would not let me get away from this text that He laid upon my heart. Still struggling to cry to Him for a word for our hearts this morning. And He kept coming back, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. My thoughts toward you, my child, are not thoughts of evil, but thoughts of peace, that I might give you an expected end." And what is the expected end? What is the expected end of the believing people of God? It's to be like Christ. Be molded and made in His image and His likeness forever and ever. He's going to give us that expected end.
Amen.
He's going to give us the expected end of this ministry that He laid upon our hearts decades ago. He's going to give us that expected end. He knows our down-sittings and our uprising. He wants us to understand that only God knows the thoughts toward us. Only He knows what He's going to do. We don't. The secret things belongeth unto Him, and we're not to delve into them. Ours is not to ask why, but wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. I had fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, said the psalmist. Then he said, wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and He shall rise up as wings, like on eagle's wings. He shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not faint. These things I will do unto thee and not forsake thee, He says. Ah, you said, will God remember me? I know the thoughts that I think toward thee, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. 40 days and 40 nights it rained upon the ark. And it so rained in the deluge that the ark came up 18 feet above the highest mountain. And God had put Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives in the ark with 2 of all the creatures that could not swim. And 7 of the clean animals for sacrifice. And day after day after day went by, and week after week went by, and month after month went by, and in the 10th month the Word of God says, and God remembered Noah. Oh, beloved, that's precious. That's precious. And God remembered Noah. Does He remember you? Put your name there. Go ahead, put your name there. He does remember us. I know the thoughts that I think toward thee. Well, beloved, if He knows the thoughts that He thinks toward us, we really have nothing to worry about, do we? Do we? Why don't we trust Him more? You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to be still and know that He's God. Be still and know that I am God. I'll not put on you any more than you're able to bear. But He will with a testing make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto you. Beloved, the promises of God have been given to us that faith may be exercised and we may call upon the name of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. And then the thoughts of God toward us are definite thoughts. There's two of them in the Scripture that I remind him of. And remember, the Lord Jesus said in it is said of the Lord Jesus in the upper room in John 13:1, and having loved his own, he loved him until the end. One was going to betray him. He was the devil whom he had chosen. John 6 tells us that. He chose a devil. The devil was with him all the time. He went to his own place. And the other 11 were going to forsake him. One was going to deny him. The rest were going to forsake him. But he says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He'll love us to the end. I know the thoughts that I think toward thee, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In Malachi 3:6, I am Jehovah, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. We've got a God that changes not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's the reason he doesn't consume us. He changes not in his attitude toward us. I know the thoughts that I think toward thee, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Because they are definite thoughts. They are thoughts that he thought back in eternity. And he brings to pass in time. And he says, I am not man that I should speak. I'm not the son of man that I should speak and go back on my word. What I have gone out of my mouth, I will not recall. Amen. My purposes are settled forever. My word is written in heaven and settled forever. And my word is above my name. And he promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Faith must be in operation. Then his thoughts are made up toward us that he's going to reward us. He's going to reward us for works we never did. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't die for our sins. We didn't shed our blood for our sins. We did not give ourselves righteousness. We had none. All we could offer to God were the filthiness and the vileness of our own righteousnesses. And God said they were in His nostrils as stinking menstruous rags. That's how much they stunk. We could bring nothing to Him but sin. But He says, my thoughts toward you are thoughts that will never change. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. And I am resolved to give it to you. I am resolved to bring you safely home at last. I am resolved to give you heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. My thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace. And all of this peace is based upon something. What is it? You know what it is? This peace is based upon the peace that was made by our blessed Lord at the cross. He made peace by the blood of His cross. But, beloved, we have nothing apart from what God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our thoughts are toward His thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace through the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's the reason He tells us to pray. That's the reason He says to call upon His name. For He says, I delight in giving you peace. Isn't it amazing that He delights to run to our rescue? The only time that God ever got in a hurry was illustrated in Luke 15, where the Father, when He saw the prodigal a long way off, He ran. The only time God gets in a hurry is to hear the cry of His people. And that poor man said, I'm going home. And I'm going to tell my father I've sinned against heaven and against Him. And I'm not worthy to be called His son.
Amen.
The father saw him a long way off. And he ran. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he put shoes on his feet and the ring on his finger and the robe upon him and he clothed him. Thoughts of peace. And He runs to us now. As no soul ever comes to the end of their way. And when they lift up their voice to heaven and cry to Him, He doesn't reach down His hand and lift them up. And says, I have you. Underneath of my everlasting arms, I'll not let you go. I'll not let you fall. You believe that? I know it's true. I know it's true. He said, I delight in giving you peace. I delight in calming the waves. When He went across the Sea of Galilee, and the blackness of darkness and the storm came up. And He was asleep in the back of the boat. And His disciples were just thought surely they would be plunged to death any second. And they woke Him up and said, Master, 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 aren't you concerned? What's the matter with you? And He said, oh, ye of little faith, how in the world could you have gone under with me in the boat? And He said, peace, be still. He calms the quietness. But I tell you the thing that has blessed my soul since Friday more than anything else. It's where He says in the Psalms 103, 107, 110, one of them, He knoweth that my frame is dust. For He knows that. He knows I'm weak.
Amen.
He knows it. Well, His thoughts are toward me. He knows it. And He desires to give that man or that woman, that one who's poor in soul, that call upon His name and cry after Him to give them repentance by the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace of the blood of the cross to be in their souls, where the tumult and the storm is quieted and the soul is made to rest at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He delights, He says, in giving peace because I ordained peace for you.
Amen.
And He knows when to give it. He knows just the moment and the time to come. He's not one moment early, and He's not one moment late. Do you believe that? I believe it. Do I understand it? I ain't figured this thing out yet. I don't believe I'll figure it out throughout eternity. That God would love me such that He would put up with me to save me, to keep me, and deliver me. And then to be so patient and long-suffering with me until He made me like Christ. The only beautiful part about all of this is that he knows the end from the beginning. And he sees what we're going to be. We don't see it yet. But we shall see it. That will be the end. He said, I delight in peace. I made peace for you. I created that peace. I sustain that peace day by day as I come to your soul and quiet it. So therefore, all of these thoughts that I have towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You mean to tell me that a God like that can't be trusted? And that we stay away from that throne of grace? And we do not pour out our hearts to him? And to tell him what's in there? And to tell him how we have sinned and come short of his glory? And why our heart of rebellion has been and our heart of unbelief has been? And our pride has taken its place. And we pour it all out before him. And he hears us. For he said, then shall you call on me. Then shall you call on me. And you can reckon we're going to pray. It's just as natural to cry to the Lord as it is for a little baby to cry. Did you know that when that little baby comes out of its womb, listen to me now. Listen to me. When that little baby comes out of its mother's womb, it gets everything it gets by doing what? So as cry. You know that, don't you? Since January, right? That little baby gets everything it gets by what? Cry. If it wants to be fed, it cries. If it wants to be picked up, it cries. If it wants to be rocked, it cries. If he wants his diapers changed, he cries. If he wants to be played with, he cries. And this is the only way that I know of, beloved. I've never learned any other way but to cry and to pour out the heart to the Lord. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will deliver you from your captivity. It's not an if, and, or maybe so about it. It's a truth. It's a surety. You believe that? You believe the sun's going to come up in the morning? God said, listen to me now. God said that if you can break the covenant that I've made with night and day, that day does not follow night and night does not follow day, then you can rest assured that the covenant that I've made with you in Christ Jesus can be broken. That's the word of God in the same book of Jeremiah. What should our attitude be? Our attitude should be one of submission. Shouldn't it? Lord, all you have me do. That's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. The first thing he cried, Lord, what would you have me do? Submission. What is it, Lord? What are you doing? What are you showing me? There's that attitude of submission. Then the attitude of helplessness, because we can't produce it ourselves. But there should be one of great expectation, great hopefulness, that God will. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He's not going to turn us away now. So our attitude should be one of submission. So we're going to cry. We're going to cry after the Lord. Even in our helplessness and hopelessness, we're going to cry unto Him. But there should be that great expectation that God is going to give us that expected end. He will get us home at last and make us in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your promise? What has He given you? David said, Lord, remember the word which Thou hast caused me to hope in. And that's what we want to do. We want to bring the promise back to the Lord. We want to lay it out before Him. We want to remind Him, Lord, remember the promise, the word which You have spoken unto Thy servant. Fulfill it. Do what You said You would do. As I illustrated Sunday night, I believe it was, or Wednesday night, let me use it as an illustration again this morning. When God told Abraham to take Isaac and go to Mount Moriah, 3 days' journey, and offer Isaac upon the altar there as a burnt offering, a sacrifice to the living God, the Scripture said that Abraham obeyed. But I'll guarantee you, for that whole journey and up that mountain, he kept reminding him, Lord, You said that in Isaac shall Thy seed be. I'm going to kill him. You told me to kill him, and I'm going to kill him. And Hebrews 11 says that Abraham received him back as one from the dead. If you kill him, I won't kill him, but you're going to have to resurrect him, because You said that in Isaac shall Thy seed be. What is the promise God has caused us to rest in? Where do we rest? To whom shall we come? Though You slay me, yet will I trust You. And like Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. No one else understands us. Oh, beloved, are you listening this morning? Or are you hearing? Cry out after the Lord Jesus. Seek Him. The moment that Saul of Tarsus was touched, he began to pray, began to cry after the Lord. There was that continual expectancy that should be ours. That assurance that He will give us the expected end. And what is it? We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. Why does He give us this portion this morning? Beloved, both portions are to humble us. To think that God's thought toward us are continued thoughts, and they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And to know that when we call upon His name, He'll answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. It's not according to our ability. By no stretch of the imagination, when I sat down and wrote this message out for the radio years ago, that I ever expected to be in print in English, much less in Portuguese, and in this periodical in Brazil. No, it's not of me. not of me. It's not of you. It's of the Lord. He said he'd take the weak things, the beggarly things, the things that are nothing, the things that are not, and confound the mighty. Well, all of this is, this morning, is to awaken in our hearts our need of looking to Him by faith. Being confident of this very thing, that He that begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. Philippians 1:6, have you ever rested in it? Being confident of this very thing, that He that begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We are to look at the promise. Not to the secret counsels of God, but to the promise, to the revealed things. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto you and your children, He says. And should we not plead them and ask God for them? We should read the promises. We should read the precepts and the commandments. Ours is to submit to them and obey them. He's ordained this way of life, of trust in Him. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Then He would have us to understand that we are too feeble-minded to ever understand the decrees of God. You ought to see the room of flowers and pot plants my wife has. And there was one that came in, and I looked at it and I said, my God made this. I can't understand how God made the billions of things that He made. None of them, every one of them differing. Every individual in this whole wide world, their fingerprints are different. Of all the people that ever lived, God, and only God, could have made every man's fingerprint different. You can't figure that out. And how can you figure out God's decree concerning the soul, of how God works in the soul? You think the physical birth is mysterious? And it was to David, Psalm 139. What do you think of the spiritual birth? How mysterious that is. That God does this in spite of us and works in us to conceive that seed. And what does He want us to do? He wants us to be comforted, not with His divine decrees that we cannot understand, but He wants us to be comforted with what He has given us in His Word, those promises that cannot be broken, and to rest there in Him and upon Him, knowing that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And what He started, He will complete. Will you go home and remember my text? Where was it? I know the thoughts that I think toward thee, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. Ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will. And that word will is a greater word than shall. I will be found of you, saith the Lord. So I want to encourage our hearts this morning to seek on, to pray on, and to cry after Him. For He said He will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Pastor, I've heard that message before. No, you haven't. I've used those same words, but I've never preached from that text before in my life, but it's one I've had undermarked. We say the same things, don't we? Talking about the same person. You only clothe the words in a different way, in a different sentence, don't you? Of course you do. Coming to the same God. Peter says, as long as I'm in this body, he said, I'm going to stir you up in remembrance of those things which you learned. And as long as I'm in this body, we're going to stir up our hearts to trust the Lord. And not ourselves, to seek His faith. They said, Pastor, do you ever have any down moments? Well, I prayed with a dear brother yesterday, and before we started praying, and I told him, I said, Brother, please pray for me. The Scripture says, confess your sins are false one to another. We might pray for each other. And I said, I've been shut up in unbelief for 2 days. Please pray that God will bring us out and bring us in. Sure. But we have one that never fails. It cannot fail. It will not fail. And though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry all of our sins and griefs there. Let's sing that song, will you? Number 412. Let's sing that in closing.